Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. They appreciate it. Good morning, good morning. It is, what's today? Ooh, August 30th, 2021. It is a Monday. Hope all is well. It's a beautiful day here on the Delmarva. A little cooler, still hot, I guess. I don't know. Big hurricane came up through New Orleans. I don't know. I think it's headed this way. It won't be a hurricane when it gets here, but I think it'll have a lot of, rain and things that go along with hurricanes. Whatever. It's always interesting when that time hurricane season shows up. It's very interesting. Good morning. I am, it is Monday, so today I will be going probably to that meeting. And I thought maybe I would maybe talk about the step that we will be reading tonight, which is continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Can we stay sober and keep emotional balance under all conditions? Self-searching becomes a regular habit. Admit, accept, and patiently correct defects. Emotional hangover. When past is settled with, present challenges can be met. Varieties of inventory, anger, resentments, jealousy, envy, self-pity, hurt, pride, all led to the bottle. Self-restraint, first objective, insurance against big shotism. Let's look at credits as well as debits. Examination of motives. Ooh, that was a lot. Well, this is a, I did a podcast the other day, and I got halfway through it, and I was like, what am I doing? What's the point? So, but the point of that podcast was that, I remember as a kid, I don't know when it started, probably 6th, 7th grade, I remember I started getting in trouble. Not big trouble, but just, where that point in the relationship with your parents kind of changes, where now, there's conversations, there's concerns, there's, pointing out behavior, all this different shit that started happening around 6th and 7th, 8th grade. And I look back and I think, as of a kid that came from a great family, I had two great parents. My parents were just awesome. They were perfectly capable, perfectly fine folks. And I loved them very much. I still, my mom obviously passed, but my dad's still around and I still love him. Love him even more, really. I loved him as you would a father as a kid, but today as an adult, I love him because, I see his story, right? And I see how it's starting to end. And, we all have these moments where we're tough and, we know everything. And then, humility starts to creep in. My humility was dished to me through my addiction. It was something that I was going to have to learn about, understand, because if I didn't, I was going to end up, and still may, who the fuck knows, right? But at the path I was headed to a life of, struggling with addiction and drinking and whatever else that might have come with it. I was forced to take a look at my deficiency in humility. And, a person like my father who has, never had a drinking problem. I mean, he drank, I'm sure he got drunk. I'm sure he woke up some mornings going, geez, I feel like shit. But, you know, it wasn't a continuous thread through our life, you know, my dad or mother's drinking. So my dad was never forced to understand the balance between self and humility. I don't think. And plus, he grew up in a generation that was completely different. He just didn't. He didn't think about humility. He didn't think about, you know, self-help. And, you know, I don't ever recall my dad being depressed or worried or overwhelmed with anxiety. He just seemed to cruise right through life and never really struggled with anything. I don't recall my father really going through any hard times, you know, other than, you know, being a colonel and working and being in the military and dealing with his kids. But, you know, my dad never spent the weekend on the couch. My dad never got, you know, never showed up and stayed in bed. He was always, you know, there. So, but as life has gone on and as he's gotten older, we have to find some humility. We have to surrender to the fact that we aren't capable of doing the things in life that we used to do, even if it's just the physical. I mean, at 52, I mean, we built a patio on our house last year, and all of a sudden our back sliding glass door has become our way of getting in and out of the house. I don't know how that happened. We've never really used the front door. I don't know. Are you all front door people? We've always been back door. You know, you parked the car and we used to come in through the back door. And now when we built the patio, it just draws us over there. So now we go in and out of the sliding glass door. And when you come down, it's, you know, wooden steps. I mean, it's perfectly fine. But at 52, you know, I take my time, right? I make sure each foot is, you know, firmly planted on the step before I make my next move. I'm not just 15-ing it down the steps like I used to, because, you know, the reality is I'm getting older and I can't, you know, I could fall. I could twist an ankle. I could definitely take a tumble. And I think I would probably be okay. But, you know, I'm humbled to the fact that I'm getting older and I need to take care of myself, not just through nutrition and emotion, but, you know, I have to gingerly move around in dangerous areas. And that's just humility. I'm waving the white flag, right? Hey, I get it. You know, I fell off the devil's chariot. My kids, I don't know, skateboard thing a couple years ago, landed flat on my back, thought I broke every bone in my body. That was a realization that I have to be careful, you know, not just because I'm 52 and I just want to, you know, have a decent life, but, you know, I have a job. I have a career that requires all of my parts to be working, and I don't have a backup if they aren't. So, and to my dad's, you know, to my dad's credit, you know, he's going through the same thing. Obviously, he's 31 years farther along. So he's really slow. But, you know, the point of it is that the point of the whole story was that at 6 or 7, I started to feel like I was getting in trouble. And that would kind of be the theme for my life for quite a while, constantly in trouble. When's the next shoe going to drop? For some reason, early on in my life, I found that I loved ditching school. I hated going to school. I don't know what I hated. I don't know what was more important, hating school or just the thrill of ditching it. And so I would find that early on, and that would be a big issue throughout my high school. I would constantly ditch. I hated class. I hated, there was a lot of things that I didn't like, and my option when that situation would come up is to flee. And so ditching school, you know, I talked about being picked on the school bus when I was in sixth grade, seventh grade. This guy, man, he would just fucking harass me. And looking back on it, I'm sure he was having fun. And I'm sure that he, you know, I know that he knew he was affecting me, but I don't know if he knew he was affecting me the way that he was. And I was freaking terrified of this older kid. And I remember I didn't want to go on that damn bus. And, you know, I would ride the bus or I would just skip school altogether. And, you know, it'd be the beginning of a real long grind. And So the whole point of this is when I got sober, you know, I had to start remembering that I'm doing better, right? I'm not perfect, but I'm doing better. And one of the things that used to happen to me when I was in my addiction is I always was wondering when the next shoe was going to fall. When I don't know when it's going to happen, but I will be getting in trouble, whether it's going to be a DUI, you know, a fight, something. I knew it was coming. I don't know when. I didn't know how, but I knew it was eventually going to come. And so when I got sober and I stopped drinking and stopped running the streets, you know, I would have to remind myself because I would still live with this anxiety, this doom that one day something bad was going to happen. And I think maybe it was just the fact that I was worried that I wasn't going to be staying sober, right? I mean, I'd never been able to do it before. I said I would. I would pretend I was going to. But in the back of my mind, always knowing that I never really wanted to. I was waiting for that to happen in this situation. I was not drinking. You know, in the first couple of years, I was pretty sober. I hadn't started using pain pills yet. I didn't hurt my back until 99. I got sober in 97. So there was March of 97. You know, there was probably, I don't know, a couple good years of being really sober and you know, following the steps and working with the sponsor. And you know, that's when we were taking meetings into the jails and, you know, just really living a life that I was not used to. And then hurting my back and then starting to use the pain pills, not realizing that that was a issue. I'd heard, be careful. You know, you got to be careful with pain pills. But I just assumed since they were prescribed. And honestly, I'd never, ever had an issue with pain pills. I never had the desire to take them. I got wrapped up in them because of the pain. They're just deadly, man. Those things talk to you. So I guess the whole point of this was just, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm better, but someone failed to tell me, you know, I'm better. Oh, wait a minute. I'm better. Yeah, but nobody told me, right? I'm doing better, but nobody told me, you know, that I can stop worrying about it. In fact, they did tell me. In fact, it's called one day at a time. Right, but I used to live 1 week at a time or 1 year at a time, and it was always a thing that was in the back of my mind and worried about it. It was bad, and but it is what it is. And so, you know, this next step, the 10th step, is kind of cool because I remember, you know, continued to take personal inventory, and so obviously we've gone through the first 9 steps and we're getting to the 10th step. And, you know, there's times I'm like, I think I'm just not going to do this podcast anymore, but it's actually good for me. If I can just say, I've learned more about these steps going through them on this podcast than I think I ever have. Because I need to pay attention. And for some reason, they're just, you know, I'm seeing them in a different light. And so it's been good for me. So, you know, if this podcast is boring or sounds repetitive, I apologize. But I'm trying to freaking stay sober here. But it says, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. That was one of the coolest things. And it says, constantly, what did it say? It says, can we stay sober and keep emotional balances under all conditions? Self-searching becomes a regular habit. That is so true. You know, today, oh my gosh, it's brutal. You know, you say do one thing. You know, I went to Panera the other day. I don't know if I talked about this, but I was at Panera and I went to get a coffee. And, you know, everything is freaking really weird right now. You know, just with masks, you know, businesses want to wear them, but they can't tell everybody to wear them. So it's just constantly this tension. You can feel the tension. And I don't know what I said, and she's like, and she didn't hear me. No, I was trying to do an Apple Pay, and it didn't work, and I'm like, I just did that. And she goes, you don't have to yell. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I go, I didn't mean to yell. And she didn't respond. She didn't accept my apology. And we finally did it and got it all paid. And I looked at her and I said, I do apologize. I did not mean to yell at you. And she goes, it's okay. But that's not the, that wasn't the apology I was looking for or the acceptance I was looking for. I wanted to be like, no problem. I get it. She's like, she didn't really, I don't think she forgave me at all. And so at the after I left, I felt, I was like, you know, constantly reevaluating the situation, going over it back and forth in my head. Should I have apologized again? You know, I felt bad. You know, I was inconvenienced and I became arrogant. And the response that I gave her was an arrogant response. The response was, did not follow under any rules. It was just a free-for-all response. And it wasn't cool. And so after I left, I just kept thinking about it. Oh my God, did I, should I go back and apologize? And this will, you know, if you're going through the steps and you've gone through all, you know, the steps and you're in the 10th step, you know what I'm talking about. You know, but the problem is for me is I have to understand when are there times where I should feel bad? And when are the times that I shouldn't? And honestly, the shame that I felt from my response with her, it's kind of what I deserved. It's kind of what I get because I was not cool about it. And I needed to just kind of live in it. There was no fixing it. But I love the ability. That was one of my favorite things is the ability to apologize and you know, make things better and try to understand when I've gone wrong or when I've gone right. I found a pile of Polaroids in the crates of a record shop. They were sexy, sexy looking back from a night that time forgot. Boy, you were something debonair in 1979. And she had Farrah Fawcett hair, carafes of blood red wine. In the summertime. In the summertime. Oh, don't you wonder when the light begins to fade and the clock just makes the colors turn to gray. Forever younger, growing older just the same. All the memories that we make will never change. We'll stay drunk, we'll stay dead, let the love remain. And I swear that I'll always paint you golden days. Golden days. I think that that's actually, you know, it would later become one of the biggest gifts for me is just this moment of self-examination, you know, of where am I doing the right thing? You know, it talks about, you know, in the early steps, building that relationship with a higher power, which to me is kind of, I don't know if that's what I use. You know, I also talk about how when my buddy Matt was around and how I would change my behavior so that he would think differently of me. But I think at this point in my life, I've changed my behavior so that I will think differently of me. Because it started in sixth grade. I really have not thought very well of myself. You know, I get in trouble. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. You know, you can't count on me. You know, I guess this all really goes to my parents, you know, with their peace of mind. You know, I could never say, listen, you can stop guarding your peace of mind now because I'm going to be better, because I could never say that. And so today, you know, this is about me. But it's also, it's a fucking, you know, and it's like staying on that AA beam, right? You know, what's my motivation? Do I want to look good? Do I just want to be better? Do I want to be better all around? You know, when you do something, or when I do something that's really wrong, you know, whether it's to... So here's another great example. So my son, and this is also pretty awesome, you know, my son, he turned 16, and I took him this morning to get his driver's license. And that, you know, first of all, that's a big deal. You know, there was a time I didn't even want any kids. And to eventually have now three kids, and to have my oldest one, my first one, get his driver's license. And then, you know, I'm actually, you know, I said, you might as well drive us home. And so he drove us home. He did great. We went on a ride through Long Neck. I don't know if people don't know where this is, but, you know, one of the local water communities down by the water. And we rode around, went by his grandmother's house. They, you know, saw his driver's license. And, you know, it was just really, really, really cool. But when we went to the DMV this morning, and like I said, I don't know what your status is where you live, but here we don't have to wear masks. Like if we go to the grocery store, you don't have to wear masks. You don't have to wear masks in stores, at least not that I know of. But you do have to wear them in hospitals, and apparently you have to wear them in the DMV. So we walk into the DMV, and this lady yells, "You need a mask." Fine. A lot of stores that are requiring or asking you to wear masks will have some masks to provide. But I'm like, do you have a mask? Do you have any? And she was, you need a mask. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I was about to, you know, I was like, first of all, I mean, let's go through it. I was embarrassed, right? Because now I'm like, I'm being pointed out to everybody, right? So I was embarrassed. I had some shame. My ego took a hit, right? Because I'm like, part of me is like, hey, I'm vaccinated, right? I don't need a mask. You know, and it's easy, especially right now. I don't know how you feel about masks, but it's easy to take a stance, take a position, and be, you know, strong on it. And that's kind of my position. I've gotten my vaccine. Why do I have to wear these stupid masks? So, and we had talked, David and I said, do you think they need masks? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, fuck it. You know, fuck them people. Well, she fucking popped my bubble right as I walked in the door, so I'm already off my square. I want to snap, you know. I want to say bad things. And I actually felt bad about that. I didn't even say anything, and I felt bad about it. I thought it, right? But that's what this program has done for me. It's taught me, you know, what is this about? And honestly, what does this have to do with drinking, right? I mean, this has nothing to do with drinking. But it's a state of mind for me. It's a way of life. You know, if I'm going into the DMV, getting called out, and I say something, you know, because that's what I would have done in the past. I'd have been like, fuck you, lady. I got my vaccine. Me. And she would have told me, get out. And I'd have been like, fuck this place, and stormed out. And then I'd have been standing out there with my son going, I guess we're not going to get your driver's license because your father is a fucking mouthy idiot. That's how I used to be, you know. But today I'm like, okay, you know, let's go get the masks. You know, and I had some words under my breath as I walked back to the car, you know, for me to enjoy, you know, put them out there and then put them back and put them away. And we went and got our mask, and the lady's like, you know, super nice. And, but, you know, I almost wanted to apologize to her, and I hadn't even said anything really to her. You know, because I'm constantly, you know, going over my behavior. But like this says in the big book, you know, or on the 12 and 12, staying on that AA beam. What's my motivation? You know, I hadn't done anything, right? I just had shown up, which I'm sure I'd probably been one of many that will do that today, to show up at the DMV without a mask. I turned around, went, got my mask, came in, got my number. But the shame and guilt that I felt from that, I wanted to apologize to her. And I think that's because I want to look good to somebody. I want to look good, and I want to feel better about myself. So, I could have come in and said, I'm so sorry. I apologize for not doing that. And given a whole story, it wasn't important. That would have been me trying to make me look better. I'm not saying it wouldn't have been okay, but I probably wouldn't have gotten the response that I was looking for if I had done that. Just like with the lady at Panera when I said, hey, I'm really sorry that I yelled. Didn't get the response, and I'm really annoyed at that. I'm not even going back to Panera. I'm still mad at that lady. But I'm mad at her because she didn't give the response to apology that I probably didn't even need to make. I don't think I was clearly on the AA beam correctly. I think I was more self. You know, when you're on a beam and you have your arms out and then your leg comes up, I think one of my legs was pointing more towards self than towards humility. And but this is, you know, these are interesting challenges for people getting sober. And what the problem is that we didn't come here for that. You know, I didn't have an apology problem before. I didn't have a, you know, a big mouth. Well, I did have a big mouth problem. But, you know, these problems aren't why I came here. The problem was all of this is because I ran my mouth at a bar and I got punched in the face and I was too embarrassed to reach out to anybody. You know, if I worked with a group of guys that loved getting stitches, you know, I could have been that morning, check out my stitches. I got in another fight because I'm a big mouth. High five. It wasn't like that, you know. It looked at me like I was an idiot. And so I chose the easier, softer way, which is to go hide in the hospital, which is good. I'm so grateful that I did that. But I have to remember, I have to be honest about that. I wasn't trying to be a hero. I wasn't, you know, I don't remember my frame of mind at the time. I mean, I sort of do, but it was a long freaking time ago. But I know that I was looking for how to get sober. I was thinking about quitting drinking all the time. You know, every day I was full of regret and shame. So it was definitely on the plate at the time. But, you know, I would go many years in this program saying that, yeah, I'm here because I want to get sober. But it wasn't the case. I just wanted to get out of that situation. So it was, you know, situations that like this that start happening in my life, and I'm starting to realize that this has nothing to do with drinking. This is really exposing the real problem that I am, is that's a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. That's me. And that's a problem I had before I started drinking. That was a problem that really flared up during my drinking, and it was a problem that I would have after I quit drinking. You know, but feeling bad about not apologizing, feeling bad about apologizing too much, all this stuff can become, you know, a real burden. And, you know, I had to start figuring out some of this stuff because it's not that I just want to stay sober. I like to just feel good, right? I just want to feel free. You know, it's not hard for me to remember the days of walking around. Ditching was a huge one. I would ditch school. My dad would say, how was school? I'd say it was good. I would lie. Now I'm carrying around a lie. And then he would say, did you do your homework? Oh, yeah, I got it. Another lie. One little lie would sprout a whole field of lies. And then I would just constantly be going, you know, how many more days until the marking period ends before this whole charade ends? And it would just be overwhelmingly painful and a huge burden to carry around. And, you know, I don't want that today. I don't want that. And that's what understanding and learning about this stuff has done for me. You know, sure, clean it up. Make sure I'm cleaning it up correctly, right? Make sure I'm doing it rightly, you know. And that's a lot about that eighth and ninth step. That ninth step, you know, you can reach out to someone and say, hey, I apologize for what I did. And they can tell you to go fuck yourself, you know. Go fuck yourself. For some reason, I cannot pull up Daily Reflections. What's going on here? Thomas Davidson. Oh, maybe we... Oh, I see here. Let's try this. See if this will work. Oh, my God. I'm deep into this band. Turnstile. Turnstile. E. Turnstile. They are so freaking good. They're playing at Firefly. Firefly's coming up. Oh, well, I can't bring up... I cannot bring up the daily reflection, so maybe we'll play some Turnstile and just say goodbye. Hold on, here we go. Turnstile. All right, listen. Have a great day. We'll try to get back into some order with these podcasts. Yeah, have a great day. Bye.
And I can lie. You know what?